Several years ago, before the time of movie theaters and big stadiums and other types of recreation and entertainment, it was not uncommon for a town to have what they called a city hall, and to meet in that city hall and invite someone in to read poetry, to read prose. And there were people who were noted at that time as being outstanding readers. And many times, perhaps on a Saturday night, most of the people in the city or the town would get together, bring in such a man, and they would sit and listen as he would open books and read stories and read poetry. On one such occasion, one of the most outstanding readers known at that time was invited. In the process of the evening, he stood up and read the 23rd Psalm. When he had finished reading the 23rd Psalm, he received a standing ovation. He had noticed that there was an older gentleman sitting toward the front. And this orator took the Bible and handed it to this older gentleman, and he said, "Sir, if you would stand up and read the 23rd Psalm." The older gentleman did, and when he finished, there was no ovation, but there were tears in almost every eye of every person who was present. When the occasion was over, someone went to the orator and asked him, "Why was it that when you read the 23rd Psalm, there was a standing ovation? And when the older gentleman read the 23rd Psalm, there was no applause, but there were tears in every eye?" The man's answer was this: "I knew the psalm. That man knew the shepherd." It would be wonderful today if every one of us could know Jesus as the shepherd in the sense that that gentleman evidently did. Gary has done a good job this morning in selecting songs that talk about Jesus as the shepherd. Of all the different descriptions given to Jesus, this may be one of the most important. He is called the light, he is called the bread, he is called the water. He is called the door. He is called the bright and morning star. He's called Alpha and Omega. Perhaps other descriptions would come to your mind of what we sometimes refer to as the great I Ams of Jesus Christ. But his being the shepherd may be the greatest I Am that's in the Bible. Back in 1985, Judy and I had the opportunity to visit the Bible lands. And as we were traveling in that area, something that's not easily done in this day and time because of the wars, we saw on several occasions a flock of sheep out in the distance. And as we would get closer to those sheep, we would notice that there was almost on every occasion one shepherd there with the sheep, sometimes watching the sheep as they would graze in the grassland. Occasionally we would see a shepherd who was bringing the sheep into the fold or down from the hills. And he would be walking along with his staff in hand, and the sheep would many times in single file, one after the other, be following him wherever he went. That's the picture, really, folks, that is presented in the Bible about Jesus Christ as our shepherd. It's interesting to note some of the adjectives and descriptive terms that are given in the Bible to describe the shepherd. Follow with me if you have your Bible. First, in Hebrews 13, as we look at some of these terms, which perhaps will help us to better understand. To better understand Jesus as the shepherd and what it means to be one of his sheep. In Hebrews 13:20, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Did you notice the word great? He's not just described as the shepherd, but he's described as the great shepherd. The great shepherd. That word suggests that he is above everyone else, that he is top shepherd, that he is better than any other shepherd that's ever lived or ever shall live. He is the great shepherd. It's interesting that in this same chapter, verse 7 and 17, both are talking about shepherds in the church. The word is not used, but he's talking about those who have the rule over you in verse 7. And again, those who have the rule over you and those who watch for your souls as they that must give an account in verse 17. We know that he's talking about the elders, the shepherds, the bishops in a local congregation. Many times we've emphasized how important they are in leading us in local work. But after having mentioned that, he comes down to verse 20 and he says, let me tell you about the great shepherd. The one that's above everything. The one that's above everybody. The one who is the great shepherd. Somewhat the same idea is presented over in 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, beginning at verse 1, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God. Notice the idea here, the flock of God. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Notice verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Here again, in a setting where Peter is describing the shepherds of the local flock and refers to the local church as the flock of God, he then refers to Jesus not just as a shepherd, not just as the shepherd, but as the chief shepherd. He's above everybody. He is the head of the church. He is the shepherd of the flock. He is the leader of the body of Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd. Next, go with me to John. The 10th chapter of John probably has more to say about Jesus as the shepherd than any other passage in the Bible, unless it is that beloved 23rd Psalm. Notice where he talks here in verse 16. Other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Great shepherd, chief shepherd, the one shepherd. Perhaps we need to emphasize that more in our day and time than in previous times, because there is such a trend today to talk about the different ways of salvation. And even as the events of the last year or so have unfolded, there are those that are beginning to talk about world religions. Particularly, Muhammad is placed on the level with Jesus, or in some estimates above Jesus, making Jesus just a prophet, or in the language of today, a shepherd, and talking about others as prophets and talking about others as having a way of salvation. Sometimes even in the church today, there are those who are beginning to write articles and make statements that suggest that maybe God has some other way of salvation. This is a very significant trend, because if God has another way of salvation, it changes our approach to mission work drastically. If it is possible for there to be another shepherd, for example, through which the people in Russia or Afghanistan or China can go to God and be saved, we need to quit taking the gospel of Christ to nations such as that. If there are multiple shepherds and multiple ways of salvation, we need to stop and really take a look at what we're teaching and what we have been promoting. But folks, this passage says there is one shepherd. And if you will study the verses particularly that come just before this, you'll find that he's discussing the idea that other sheep I have which are not of this fold, and they need to be brought into this fold. He is particularly describing the Gentiles. He is not saying that there's one shepherd for the Jews and another shepherd for the Gentiles. There's one fold for one kind of people and another fold for another kind of people. There is one way of salvation with one leader for some and another way of salvation with another leader for others. He says there is one fold and there is one shepherd. Now, if that be true, and we believe it is, then we are right in our approach to take the gospel of Christ to all the people in the world. Because we are right in our conclusion that there is no other way of salvation except through Jesus. We are right to believe passages such as John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's Jesus, the great chief shepherd, talking. He says, I am the way. And he says, no one comes to the Father but by me. That's why the idea of one fold and one shepherd is so important in John 10. In this passage, at verse 2 and verse 12, he is called the shepherd. The idea is the one and only shepherd. He is the shepherd. He is the one shepherd. But also in John 10, at verse 11 and verse 14, another word is used to describe the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd is how both verses begin. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. There is a contrast drawn in the earlier part of John 10 between the true shepherd and a hireling. And the idea is that if you hire somebody to take care of your sheep, they would not have the same interest as the one who owns the sheep. And he is saying that Jesus is not a hireling. He is not one who's just taking care of sheep for somebody else. He is the one who owns the sheep. They are his. He knows them. They know him. And twice he says, I am the good shepherd. How good? He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The shepherd is good enough that he's willing to lay down his life for a sheep. And certainly we know that Jesus did. That he was willing to go to the cross, to shed his blood, to lay down his life, that he might give the purchasing price for the church. The church and the flock are the same, that he might give the purchasing price for the flock, that he might own the sheep, that he might be the good shepherd. What a wonderful shepherd Jesus is. He is the great shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is the one shepherd, and he is the good shepherd. But there's a word used there in Psalms 23 that David read a few minutes ago that just brings all of this together. And that is that Jesus is my shepherd. I think sometimes when we read Psalm 23, we do not emphasize that word. There's a tendency to emphasize the ideas that are there and the values that are there and the blessings that are there. I want you to listen for just a moment as I emphasize some words. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's important to think about Jesus as a great shepherd and a chief shepherd and a one shepherd and a good shepherd. But you know what really makes it worthwhile is to think about him as my shepherd. He's my personal shepherd. He cares about me as one of his sheep. He cares about you as one of his sheep. Perhaps this idea, being able to keep this idea in the backs of our minds and the bottom of our hearts, can assist us in meeting the troubles of life, the difficulties that come, the problems that we have day by day. To know that Jesus is my shepherd, that he cares for me. To know that he is your shepherd, that he cares for you, makes all the difference in the world. And you know, even as you think about the invitation of Jesus that's extended to everyone, it's amazing that the shepherd idea is also there. We notice the idea particularly there in John 10, where he said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. They have not yet become my sheep," he said. The idea was they've got to be brought into this fold so that they can be in the same fold with those that are already the sheep. That's talking about those who've never become Christians. And so when we encourage people to be baptized into Christ, to be added to his body, to become a part of his fold, we're encouraging people to become his sheep and to follow him as the shepherd. You remember the story in Luke 15 of the shepherd who left the 99 and went to find the one sheep that had strayed away? And perhaps you remember in 1 Peter 2:25, he said that there were those who were as sheep gone astray, but now are returned to the shepherd and bishop of their souls. These would be referring to those who are sheep who stray. And he says that the shepherd wants to go out and find that one sheep and bring him back. And he wants that one that's gone astray to come back to the shepherd and the bishop of his soul. So in reality, the invitation of Jesus is extended in terms of the shepherd and the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. He wants them who are not Christians to come and be baptized into him and be a part of his fold, to be his sheep. And then he says, those that have gone astray, those that were in the fold but they've wandered off, he said they need to come back to the shepherd and the bishop of the soul. Can you say this morning and really mean it, the Lord is my shepherd? I would guess without the loss of one, we would all agree that he's the great shepherd and the chief shepherd and the one shepherd and the good shepherd. But can you say, he is my shepherd? If you can't, you need to come to the fold of Christ as together we stand and sing.